Eric. Booklet of questions.
What, Tom Brokaw?
Okay, this part of the questions, mainly 1 through 19, you know, like, when were you born and where?
I was born September 10th, 1963, in Kornberg, West Germany.
Why did you come to Rock Springs?
My mother and father divorced in the mid-70s. I was with my father up until 1978, and at that time my mom had moved to Rock Springs, and I moved up here after she had moved up here.
Do you remember much from Germany, or just?
I've been back to Germany on vacation a couple times, and so it's not something that, you know, I moved to the United States and then completely forgot about.
What were your first impressions of Rock Springs, other than the hellhole?
Well, actually, it wasn't that, being from having lived in Vernal for as long as I did. Vernal's very similar to Rock Springs as far as the type of terrain. They have a little more water, a few more trees, but basically it's the same. A lot less wind.
Town hasn't changed much since you moved here, has it?
No, it really hasn't. There's been some housing divisions. The whole Pulte division over by White Mountain is all new since I moved in. The White Mountain Mall was just being completed. It was opened a year after I moved here. The Smiths and all that wasn't here. So the Kmart wasn't here. There were a lot of things that weren't here when I moved here.
That's a very interesting question there. About the town, you know, the prostitutes in the town.
Oh, kind of a funny story. A friend of mine and I were just riding around in his car, and he had a real nice car for a high school kid, you know. And we were riding around, and we decided to just go on a ride through K Street. And it was nice and warm, windows were down. Some girl flagged us over, so we pulled over, and we figured we'd just bullshit with her, you know. We didn't have any intention of doing anything. And as we were sitting there BSing, she was bent inside the car on the passenger side where I was seated, and Norman got to basically propositioning her, trying to get a price out of her and stuff like that. And I happened to look inside her coat, and there was a police badge inside her coat. And I suggested to Norman that we needed to leave. So we beat a hasty retreat out of the area. But as far as the prostitution and stuff, I was early teens, so it really wasn't
much.
Yeah, it didn't really affect me. It wasn't something that I saw every day.
Unless you wanted to. Was there much violence in town at the time?
Yeah, there was. There was the big cop scandal. Can't think of the guy's name. But he shot that other cop up in the old Silver Dollar parking lot. And that big thing was going on. The high school was a very violent place. If you were from out of town at that time, because Rock Springs was such a boom town, being from out of state, you were considered sort of an outsider. The local kids really stuck together, and they really frowned on new kids. I'd say the first year I was in Rock Springs, I was probably in somewhere between, you know, 20 and 30 fist fights. in the first year.
Dang.
So, you know, it was, and it was, it wasn't something that, you know, I looked for or tried to get into. It just seemed like you were being felt out, kind of where you was going to fit on the social scale at the school was, you know, they were judging the girls by how cute they were, and they were judging the guys by how well they fought. So.
Where'd you live in the town, like, neighborhood?
When I first moved to Rock Springs, we had a house over in White Mountain Village, and then we bought a modular home and put it in Grandview Village. From there, I moved out more north of town, out on Mesa, and from there, an apartment at Sunridge, and then to my house now.
Was the hospital built when you moved here?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't as extensive as it is now. They were adding to it a lot.
Yeah, because I remember when it was just being built up there.
Yeah.
Was there a union hall or corporate store or anything that you know of?
No, I think that would have probably been a little above my head, you know.
High school.
Yeah, high school. My thinking on that is it was probably something that happened a long time ago.
Was there a lot of prejudice in the town at the time?
God, yes.
Just
the blacks and the Mexicans. They had their own little groups, and they stuck together. And you know, the whites were the biggest majority of people here, and so they didn't really cling together, you know. But when you'd, like in school and stuff, you'd walk down the hall, when you saw black people, you saw four or five of them together all the time. You rarely saw a black person by himself in the, you know, the outreaching parts of the school or out in the parking lot. You always saw the blacks in groups, and the Mexicans were the same way. The Hispanics, they were all tied together pretty tight. I think it was just because they were so outnumbered, and there was a lot of racial prejudice, you know.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Like, you know, you went to high school up at the high school, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the only school you went to in town?
Yeah, it was. When I moved here, I was a sophomore in high school.
So you got the full experience.
I got the full Rock Springs experience.
Basically. Going right through it, you got it right down here. Did you do a lot of hunting when you came up here?
When I first moved to Wyoming, I hunted quite extensively in Utah. Family tradition, you know, father,
yeah.
Grandfather, hunting and fishing was something that we always did. When I first moved to Wyoming, I did some hunting, not nearly as much as I did in Vernal, and then as the years have gone by, I've grown less and less of a deer hunter and more of a fisherman.
A little more entertaining.
Well, you fish in the summertime, you hunt in the winter.
True. Did any, like, famous people come through Rock Springs that you know of at the time? Any bands or anything?
There's a rock band called Battle Zone, and they were eating at JB's once when I was there. They've had some of the older popular groups from the late 60s, early 70s have appeared at Kill Peppers. And a rock band called Rail they ended up putting out a couple albums and stuff and making a little bit of a mark. They were here a few times.
Yeah,
so I saw them when they played the bar scene, you know.
Pretty good, huh?
They weren't bad.
Like, where and when did you meet your fiance?
Ellen, I met in the same apartment building that I lived in. She lived a floor up and two apartments down. And she had her best friend, Amy Grader, was someone that was, she was an acquaintance of mine. And they asked me to come up and have a beer one day, and I came up, and I've been with Ellen ever since. That's 2.5 years ago.
Did you live with your parents, or did you move out early?
I moved out of my parents' house when I was 18. So I guess relatively early. Actually, I can't say I moved out. My mother moved out, and I rented her trailer. So, you know, but I was independent at 18.
Did your family belong to any, like, social clubs?
The Work Hard and Pay Bills Club is about the only clubs my family has ever belonged to.
What was your first job?
I worked for the Corn Dog Factory in the White Mountain Mall. But it was relatively short-lived. And from there, I went to Sunset Sporting Goods as a stock clerk. And I wanted to work for Sunset because my dad had worked for Sunset and Vernal for 20-plus years. So.
Did you just get minimum wage at this job?
Yeah. As I recall, it was $2.65 an hour was minimum.
Dang. How many hours did you work a week?
Oh, I'd say no more than a third. My basic job was, you know, the freight would come in on Monday mornings. I'd get off school and go down to Sunset. And I'd check in freight for as long as I could handle, you know, depending on my homework and my school scheduling and whatever I needed to have, you know, whatever I needed to get done. My mom worked in the mall, in the Plaza Mall for the Big Nickel when they were in the Plaza Mall. So generally I'd work till she went home, and then I'd catch a ride home with her, unless I could catch a ride home with one of the people I worked with, because I was only 15 and I didn't have a license or anything yet.
Do you belong to a union?
Yeah, I do. I belong to the Western Energy Workers, and they're the union that takes care of Bridger Coal.
Did you join that because you got a job at Bridger Coal?
Yeah, it's sort of a company union. The members of the Western Energy Workers are solely employed by Bridger Coal Company. So, after the 6-month probation period with Bridger Coal, then you're basically made a full-time employee, and you're at that time the union will approach you and ask you if you'd like to belong or not. Wyoming being a right-to-work state, you have the opportunity to either accept or deny their offer. I accepted and had been a union member for 4 years now.
Do you always agree with the union policies?
Not necessarily. As a matter of fact, we just had our contract negotiations for the next 3 years, and I voted no on the contract. I didn't think that I didn't think the union had bargained a fair shake for us. We haven't had a raise effectively in 6 years. When the union finally did bargain us a raise, they got us $1 an hour across the board, which is, you know, it's a decent raise, and $1,000 bonus to be paid this year, $1,000 bonus to be paid next year, and a $750 bonus to be paid the year after that. But in the bargaining, we managed to lose an insurance option, which gave us maximum coverage at no cost to us. That came out to about $200 a month for a man of the family to give him that optimum coverage. Like I said before, it last year that was at no cost to us. Now it is. $200 a month, that's $2,400 a year. you figure that bonus and raise they gave us, it amounts to about $9,000 over 3 years, $3,000 a year. After taxes, you're looking at about $2,200. So they managed to negotiate for us a $200 cut in wages per year, provided that you go with the optimum insurance coverage. Which, you know, anything that was free before and costs you money now is a loss. So I didn't feel real comfortable with that, and there were some other things that I didn't feel real comfortable with, so I elected to vote no, although the contract did pass at almost a 2-to-1 margin.
Does the union sponsor activities, recreational activities?
The union is very prominent with the United Way in Rock Springs. They participate very heavily in the United Way campaign drives. They like to go out when they have the fair and everything, and they like to buy stock that's, you know, auctioned at the fair. Generally, they try to buy stock that's been raised by a union member or a family member of a union member, you know, so they participate in that way, but they help out where they can. They form, we give money to, like when the swim team went to Russia, because two people at the mine had kids that went on that. So, you know, a lot of the things they do are orientated towards people who work for the mine, but they still participate heavily in, you know, in community activities.
Are your union leaders workers, or are they full-time organizers?
Our union leaders are full-time employees with Bridger Coal Company, on top of being our union representation. Our union president is a hauler operator at Bridger Coal. He does the same job I do. He's the president of our union. Our business agent is a machinist. Our secretary is an electrician. Our vice president is a machinist. And our treasurer is a warehouseman. So, you know, it's kind of nice because we've got people involved in our executive board that come from all the different facets of the industry. As far as, you know, the Bridger Coal itself, we've got everything from the top paid people down to the warehousemen, which are some of the lowest paid people at Bridger, so it kind of balances out, keeps things in check.
Were you ever part of a union drive or put on strike?
No, we have a no strike, no lockout clause in our contract, which is, it won't allow Bridger Coal to ever shut the doors on us. And it won't allow us to ever strike. So all our labor negotiations are handled in-house without strikes.
Overall, does the union improve the quality of the workers' lives?
I believe it does. It's provided a lot of security. You can't, in a non-union job, if you rub somebody the wrong way, you're gone. You're history. You know, and all it takes is being a personality conflict between you and your supervisor. The first time he catches you doing something wrong, no matter how trivial it is, you could be down the road. It's that simple. With the union, you have the option to file grievances, and even though those are generally taken care of, you know, inside the mine, you can go to arbitration with it. You can actually get it off the mine, get it put in front of an arbitrator and a judge, and you can handle it legally. You know, there are other avenues, so it does provide a lot of job security. There are a lot of benefits to being in a union. You don't get run over by people who suck up. For lack of better terminology, you know, in a non-union job, a lot of times it's not necessarily the best man for the job that gets the higher paying job. It's the guy who kisses the best butt, you know? And that's not right.
What political party do you belong to and why?
I don't belong to any political party. I don't believe in it. I don't believe that a person should claim to be a Republican or a Democrat and support that party, even though they may not completely believe in everybody that's running on that ticket or all the things that that particular party believes in. I believe a person should be able to vote for who he thinks is going to do the best job, whether it be Republican, Democrat, liberal, independent. Those things, you know, that seems to me like that's an inalienable right to look at who's running and pick out who you think is going to be the best person for the job.
When did you first vote? Or have you ever?
I've never voted. So, I've really never been that heavily involved in the political situation in Rock Springs. I've never been dissatisfied with the way that the city government has been run. I strongly feel that I should vote. It's a right that's been given to me by living in the United States or a lot of countries where that right's not given to you. You know, and so people should exercise that privilege. And the next presidential elections, I will be voting in.
Was Sweetwater County always a Democratic county when you moved here?
As far as I can remember.
Pretty heavy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Was there ever communist, socialist, or anything active trying to run for office in the county?
I think a few independents are probably the only things that I've ever seen. I don't, as near as to my best recollection, I can't think of a time when a communist ever ran.
Was politics always clean in Sweetwater County, or has there ever been scandals?
I don't believe that politics have ever been completely clean in Sweetwater County. I think that there have been a lot of dirty deals made. There are a lot of people that get some very special consideration when it comes to planning and zoning and, you know, and things like that. I think that there are some people that have their hands in the right pockets, and I think they're getting some special consideration.
Was the KKK active in Rock Springs ever?
Not that I was ever aware of. I think the black population in Rock Springs is so small that the KKK wouldn't have had anybody to pick on around here.
What do you think of President Bush and his policies right now?
I don't care for him at all. I think that the Republicans tend to support the wealthy. I think that the Democrats tend to support they tend to support a lot of things that provide economic growth, but they generally, when they provide the economic growth, generally inflation runs rampant with it. I think that a president should at least be able to balance a checkbook. You know, we spend billions and billions of dollars every year more than we have. Now, if you or I were to do that, if we had our checkbook and we started writing checks and we ran out of money and we kept writing checks, they'd come get us, throw the cuffs on us, and we'd be in the pokey.
Yeah.
You know, it's illegal for you or I to do that, but our government does it to no end. I don't believe in a lot of foreign aid. when we've got people living in cardboard boxes on the street and rummaging through garbage cans looking for a meal, we've got a problem. And giving $12 million to a foreign country for their people, when we can't even take care of our own, that's a problem.
Has there ever been a political person that you really thought was stood out among the others as a better politician?
I like Gary Hart. You know? He may have got caught with his pants down, but I felt that he was, primarily a lot of it was because he was young and he was aggressive and he was aware that we had problems and he wasn't prepared to lift the rug and sweep them underneath it. He was, by my best estimation, he was ready to deal with the problems head on. And I thought he would have been a hell of a good president.
Has there ever been any, have all the campaigns in Rock Springs usually been pretty low-key or really extravagant?
I've never really seen a big push. The Paul Oblock, who is now the mayor of Rock Springs, he visited the Western Energy Workers Hall, talked to us for probably 20 minutes or so. And then later on, he knocked on my door. Introduced himself, and you know, the group I was in had already met him, and we talked for a little while, and that was probably the heaviest campaigning I'd ever gotten. I mean, he actually knocked on my door, came in, said hi, we shot the shit for a while, and then he went on the campaign trail some more.
Do most of the politicians in town try to get the support of the unions?
In the 4 years that I've been with the Western Energy Workers, Paul Oblock is the only candidate that's ever stopped by.
Kind of odd.
Well, yeah, there aren't that many unions really in Rock Springs. I think there's the Western Energy Workers. I believe the United Mine Workers covers a mine, and the Steel Workers cover some of the Trona mines. So there's a couple other small labor locals. But as far as our unions being able to sway an election, I don't really think that we have the numbers that would be required for that to happen.
Was there any, what was the most famous politician you remember coming to Rock Springs?
Just our, probably our senators and governors for the state of Wyoming. I can't ever recall a presidential or vice presidential nominee ever, or incumbent ever coming to Rock Springs.
When you meet people like in other states and you tell them where you're from, what are their first impressions?
Generally, if you meet people that are, I would say, in their 20s, early 20s to late 20s, the 60 Minutes stories stick in their heads. And they generally still have the impression that Rock Springs is a very hard place to live in, that there's a lot of violence here, there's a lot of crime, there's a lot of corruption. And, you know, I think some of them still think there's a hitching post in front of every store. You know, it's like, do you guys have paved roads there? You know, they think that we're still in the Wild West or something. So, most people's impression of Rock Springs, if they haven't been here, generally is negative.
What do you remember mostly about the boom?
Chaos. The town was upside down. There was just plain chaos. I was walking home from school one day and was approached by a guy who asked me if I wanted a job on a drilling rig. I was 16 years old. And I told him, you know, I go to school. And he says, I can offer you a job. And he told me by the time that the kids I went to high school with get out of college, I'd have already made $1 million working in the oil field. And at the time, the wages they were paying compared to the rest of the world, you know, they paid a lot of money.
Yeah. Did you see people living out in the desert in camper trailers?
Oh, yeah. Tents, campers. I think that's how Reliance was settled. It was tents and campers.
Were prices real high during the boom?
Comparatively to other cities, towns, yeah, they were. Because they could get what they wanted and they knew it. There were so many people making so much money in such a small town. Rent here was unreal. When I left Sunridge, the prices had just gone up in anticipation of the expansion projects out of the Trona mines. But till then, the rent had been $215 a month, which was more than reasonable for I had a nice two-bedroom apartment. During the boom, rent at Sunridge was $475 a month for a two-bedroom apartment. So, you know, the price on the apartment has dropped to less than half in 7 years, 8 years.
Was crime a big problem?
Crime seems to have always been a big problem in Rock Springs. I mean, I've had my personal vehicles broken into. My pickup truck twice, my car once. I've never had a home burglary, but you know, you hear about the Harlow things, you hear about the Tammy Shootman girl getting murdered, you hear about some rapes, and the murders. Seems like there's quite a bit of violence in this town for no bigger than it is.
What is your best memory of Sweetwater County?
I have a lot of good friends here. If you wanted me to single out one great memory, I don't really know if I could. Because there's been a lot of good things happen to me in Sweetwater County.
Your saddest memory of Sweetwater County?
Probably when my mom and my sister packed up and moved to Germany. They moved back to Germany. And that was, you know, basically the only family I had left in the States. So, sort of here on my own now.
What is the biggest change in the country since you were young?
Probably the struggling economy is probably what stands out in my mind more than anything. It seems that when I was growing up, when I was little, when your dad went to work for somebody, he hired on and he stayed on, and they retired from the company that their dad worked for. And you know, and that's how things went. Now everything's so topsy-turvy. There's, you know, corporate raiders. They take over companies. They sell them piece by piece. If you don't work for a strong company, odds are you're not going to work for them for long. Somebody bigger's going to come in, buy them out, reorganize, ship you down the road. It just seems like hometown America is gone, and it's all dog-eat-dog now.
What, in your opinion, does the future hold for the country? Anything?
I feel like if America doesn't get tough, they're going to be bought and sold and bought and sold and bought and sold. The Japanese they practically own the state of Hawaii. And people really consider the Japanese a threat, the amount of money they pump into the country. But a lot of people don't realize that the Great Britons have four times the holdings that the Japanese have in this country. You know, there are a lot of the countries that are, I guess they keep a lower profile than the Japanese. But who's to say that other countries won't follow suit?
Do you have any words that you would like to leave for your grandchildren or heirs?
I'd like them to keep the country strong. Appreciate what they got here. Realize a lot of people suffered a long time to make the United States what it is. You know, I come from a foreign country, and until recently, Germany was not a very good place to live, especially if you were in East Germany. I have relatives that were on both sides of the wall, so I kind of got a feel. I don't really have the hands-on, but I kind of got a feel for what some of those people have gone through, because, you know, my mom stayed in pretty close contact with her relatives in Germany. So if I had one thing to leave to my heirs, I'd say take care of the country, because it's the best thing you'll ever have.
Okay. Thanks.
You bet.
That's the interview.